This is an oral history interview with Jack Stewart, conducted by Bill Bishop on April 3rd, 1995, at the home of Jack Stewart. The subject of this interview is U.S. history, the period of in the 1930s, the Depression years, just prior to World War II, and also the war years and experience in Europe during World War II. Mr. Stewart, just to get a little background information, you were born, what was your date of birth?
I was born March 13th, 1925, in Ocala, Alabama. When I was 1 year old, I moved to Sand Mountain near Albertville. We were farmers, lived on the farm all of our lifetime up through then. And my dad was a large farmer. I had two brothers, one sister, and we all farmed. My brothers got married and moved out. My sister got married, left me and my mother and dad at home. And he was in 1938. He got down sick and wasn't able to farm. I was 13 years old at that time, and I had to take a man's job in the field, so to speak. We had a hired boy to help us. Back then, you would hire people for so much a month and give them their board to help you farm. So we had a hired boy to help us farm that year. And he was a young man, but he was afraid to stay in the field by himself, so I had to stay out there with him.
It worked a lot.
But anyway, at the age of 13, I had to take over a man's job. And the following spring, when I was 14, then my dad passed away. So it left me and my mother on the farm by ourselves. And we continued farming on up through 1942. At the summer of 1942, I went to work at Public Works and in Gadsden. And the following year, we moved down and lived there until, we was living there when I went into the Army in the service during World War II. They had declared war, and in 1943, they called me for induction into the Army, but I was turned down in 1944. July of 1944, I was inducted, went into 17 weeks camp training at Fort Hood, Texas. At the end of the 17 weeks, we were all shipped overseas for replacements.
I see.
As soon as we hit the replacement center in France, we were there for about 24 hours, I guess, and they shipped us out into the division of the armies that had lost a lot of people. So the company that I joined was the 11th Armored Division, which at that time was fighting in the Battle of the Bulge. So I joined them during the fight. General Patton was our commander over the 3rd Army. And that was one of the, I guess, one among the toughest battles that we were in, was the Battle of the Bulge, because our outfit lost, I guess, 75% of the people wounded and casualties at that time. And shortly after that, I had to go into the hospital for a short period of time, and when I came back, we were in another major battle. And in this battle, we were trying to more or less take a hillside where the German army had dug in, and we were down in the flat country trying to cross a branch and go up the hill, and each time we'd try to cross the creek or the branch, why enemy fire would drive us back. But eventually, during the late afternoon hours, we were there for all day, so to speak, and late in the afternoon hours, we overcame the enemy enough to take the hillside. And we got up on the hill just about dark and dug our foxholes and got set for the night. But during the night, they counterattacked. And at the time they were counterattacking, we had replacements coming up to replace us because we had been in battle several days. And during the replacements and a counteracting from the Germans at the same time, our company got mixed in with the company that was replacing us. And I was dug in out on the far end, and I knew we was getting replacements, but I didn't know when they were coming. And where, in my position, the Germans were trying to overtake us again, and they ran all over me, and it frightened me so bad that I just squeezed down in that foxhole and lay real still like I was dead. And when our replacement company drove them back, then I came out of the foxhole and joined my company back across the creek where we originally started. But that is one of the toughest battles, I guess, we were in, because we lost quite a few people there. My immediate commanding officer, my lieutenant, he and I were trying to cross the creek side by side, and he was shot. And I dragged him back out of the creek and brought him up on the bank side where the medics could get to him. But during the time that we were up on the hillside, I was frightened bad, and I didn't know it until I got back with the company the next morning. Of course, we all carried canteens of water on our hooked on our belt. And during the time that all the shooting and everything, and I don't really know when it happened, all I know that there's a bullet hole through the canteen, and that's closest that I come getting hit. And I was still scared.
I can understand why.
But the bullet did hit my canteen and shoot a hole through it.
That's coming pretty close, isn't it?
That's getting close. That's enough to keep you scared.
I can imagine. If we can, let me back up just a little bit and get some of the and verify some of the background information.
Okay.
Jack, we've got your date of birth, March 13, 1925, and you were born in Atala.
In Atala.
Okay. Your parents' names, what was your
mom's name? Oh, I'm sorry. It was Johnny Stewart and Benny Neesmith Stewart.
Neesmith.
Okay. That was her maiden name.
And you went to school there in rural Blount County.
I went to a rural grammar school. It was called Circle, down near McClaudy, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And I went through the grammar school there. I went to Susan Moore High School. And then years later, after I took my job in Birmingham, I went to Alvison Drawn Business College.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I've noticed by filling out the background information sheet that you attended the business college, or took mm-hmm. business courses there at that school you mentioned. And I'd like to, if we could, talk a little bit about the Depression years of the 30s. I know you were...
That was tough.
Was it?
I was about 6 years old at that time when it really was hitting hard.
Uh-huh.
The hardest Depression years was around 1930, 31, and 32. And, of course, everybody was in the same financial shape at that time. There just wasn't any money in circulation.
Uh-huh.
And the farmers, where they had been getting, in this area here, cotton at that time was the main crop for farmers. And prior to the Depression, why, they had been selling their cotton for 15, 18, 20 cents a pound. That's what we call limp cotton after it was ginned and baled.
Right.
And during the Depression years, why, everything got so tough that the farmers were only getting 4, 5, and 6 cents a pound for the cotton. They was getting about a third of what they originally got, anywhere from a third to a fourth of what they originally got for the price. Of course, everything else came down accordingly, but during that time, by the time the farmers bought the fertilizer and seed, of course, back then times were so hard, most everybody saved their seed from the prior year. But times were so hard, by the time the farmers bought the fertilizer, and most everybody had to borrow money at the bank to make the crop on.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they would get the crop gathered and pay the bank off, with the more than they were getting during the Depression years, They was in the same shape in the fall as they was in the spring when they started it, taking everything they made to pay the bank off. So what the people had to live on generally is what they raised. In that time and age, all the farmers raised large gardens, and the family would can and freeze and dry. Of course, back then we didn't have any freezers, but they would dry their fruits, and they would can all their vegetables and whatever they had canned. And that's kind of what the people lived on during the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
They'd put out early spring gardens for the early vegetables to come in, and then they'd have gardens throughout the year from frost to frost, so to speak. And
they just, could put those vegetables up.
They'd put them in cans and can them,
uh-huh.
And then they'd open them and use them during the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
And people just didn't have any money to buy anything with. About all they bought it during those years were maybe coffee and sugar and the necessities that they had to have.
Mm-hmm.
Very few clothes and very few shoes were sold during those years. The kids like me that were going to school, maybe they'd get one pair of shoes a year. And sometimes, if we had a good crop year, maybe Daddy was financially able enough to get us all a pair of dress shoes in the spring and a pair of shoes for the winter to wear to school. Of course, we had to walk to school back then. There weren't any school buses. And from where we lived to the school was around about 2 miles.
Uh-huh.
And there wasn't any automobiles back at that time to really speak of. A few people in the community had them. We wasn't fortunate enough to have one ourselves. But during the real bad weather, Daddy would get me on the horse with him and let me ride behind him going to school, or either hitch up to the wagon and pick up all the kids down through there and carry them all to school at one time.
Your dad would do that?
My dad would do that. And of course, like I say, there wasn't any school buses. The school buses only went carried children to high school at that time. And all the grammar school children within a radius of 3 miles or so had to walk to school.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you for sure, it was cold. We had winters back then a lot worse than we do this day and time, because maybe the roads would freeze over. They were all dirt roads, no pay roads out in the country at that time.
Right.
And the roads would freeze over during the winter and be icicles sticking up on the side of the roads 2, 3, 4 inches high. And your feet would just almost freeze going to school. But people enjoyed themselves back then. It's not like it is now. There wasn't any public jobs, so to speak of, and neighbor helped neighbor, and everybody enjoyed what little they did have. Nobody didn't have anything much, but everybody enjoyed living. It's not like it is today, where you have a fast pace out there with everybody just don't have time to do anything except work.
Right.
Of course, there wasn't any work going on at that time.
The people in the community kind of pulled together.
They pulled together, right.
For a time.
Absolutely. And the year that my dad was down sick, we had a large farm out there. And the neighbors found out the days that we were going to plant and work the crop. So all the neighbors in the community would come in and help us. I guess they were probably 12 or 15 families would come in and help us the day that we planted the crops and the day that we worked the crops out and the day that we gathered the crops. And I will never be able to thank each one of them personally enough for what they did, even though I was a kid at that time. But it's still in my heart, and I appreciate everything that all of them done.
Well, I'm sure at the same time you helped out other families at times when they were planning or harvesting.
Well, what we could. Like I say, everybody was neighbors back then. We have good neighbors this day and time, but everybody works, and they don't have time to help the neighbor like we did back then.
Seems to be a little more fast-paced.
More of a fast pace this day and time than it was then.
One thing is interesting, I heard you mention, it seemed like at that time, during the Depression, the early years of the Depression, it just didn't seem like there was any money circulated.
There weren't any money.
There was just no money circulating.
Uh-huh.
And that's amazing, the price of a pound of cotton dropping, you know, almost to a fourth
mm-hmm.
of what it was
mm-hmm.
Selling for to begin with.
People could buy sacks of flour back then for 45, 50 cents. Of course, people back then bought 25, 50 pound sacks of flour.
Mm-hmm.
Lard at that time, there wasn't anything, such thing as cooking oil, so to speak, and people would buy their what we call lard in 50 pound cans. And most all the people would buy a 50-pound can in the spring, and that would run them through the summer then until hog-killing time in the fall. And when they killed hogs, then they'd take part of that hog and cook it out into the grease and made grease out of it and put it in cans
uh-huh.
for the following year.